ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कंठो 10 चैप्टर 8 टेक्स्ट 33 विथ ट्रांसलेशन बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील A.C. भक्तिवेदांता स्वामी प्रभुपाद सा गृहीत्वा करे कृष्णं उपालभ्य हितैषिणी यशोदा भयसंभ्रांत प्रेक्षणाक्षम अभाषतः. Upon hearing this from Krishna's playmates, Mother Yashoda, who was always full of anxiety over Krishna's welfare, picked Krishna up with her hands to look into his mouth and chastise him. Her eyes fearful, she spoke to her son as follows. Text 34. Kasmat Mridam Adanta Atman Bhavan Bhakshitavan Rahaha Badanti Tavakaha Hi Ete Kumaraha Te Agrajaha Api Ayam Kasman Ridam Adantatman Bhavan Bhakshitavan Rahaha Vadanti Tavakahyete Kumaraste Grajopyayam Kasman Mridam Adantatman Bhavan Bhakshitavan Rahaha Vadanti Tavakahyete Kumaraste Grajopyayam
Kasman Mridam Adantatman
Kasman Mridam Adantatman
Bhavan Bhakshitavan Raha
Bhavan Bhakshitavan Raha
Vadanti Tavakayete
Vadanti Tavakayete
Kumaraste Grajopyayam
Kumaraste Grajopyayam
Kasman Mridam Adantatman
Kasman Mridam Adantatman
Kasman Mridam Adantatman
Kasman Mridam Adantatman
Bhavan Bhakshitavan Raha
Kasmat. Any of our Gurukul boys can say what kasmat means? No? You know. I know too. I'm looking at the word. Kasmat bhajanta. What is that? Kasmat bhajantam danadur. Kavayo danadur madanda. There's another word for why in different contexts. Kena Prabhupada, he cites that also. It's also used. In Bengali it is, but he says that Kena Upanishad is the why Upan. Anyway, it means why. Kasmat, why. Mridam, dirt. Adanta, Atman, you restless boy. Bhavan, you, with a capital Y. Bhakshatavan, have eaten. Rahaha, in a solitary place. Badanti, are lodging this complaint. Tavakaha, your friends and playmates. He, indeed. Ete, all of them. Kumaraha, boys. Te, your. Agrajaha, older brother. Api, also. Confirms. I am this. Dear Krishna, why are you so restless that you have eaten dirt in a solitary place? This complaint has been lodged against you by all your playmates, including your elder brother Balaram. How is this? Purport. Mother Yashoda was agitated by Krishna's restless misbehavior. Her house was full of sweetmeats. Why then should the restless boy eat dirt in a solitary place? Krishna replied, my dear mother, they have plotted together and lodged a complaint against me so that you will punish me. My elder brother Balaram has joined them. Actually, I have not done this. Take my words as true. Do not be angry and chastise me. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrestham Manomapi Shachiputram Atra Swarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Matavasham Prakto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tamnatosmi Andeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagarna Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Guru Vaishnav Bhagavan Tine Smarane Hoy Bigna Vinashan Anaya Shri Hoy Nijavan Chita Puran Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You might be wondering why I'm giving class every morning in the presence of my august god brothers, but in consultation with the temple president, it was decided I'll give at least up until tomorrow morning, because many devotees are coming to see me. I haven't been here for a long time. We have here a village dispute. The evidence against Krishna seems to be very strong. We had just that all the village ladies had come and complained. Krishna got away with it that time. Is he going to get away with it this time? He was caught, when he was caught stealing in the houses, and the men of the house would tell him, "You thief," Krishna would say, "No, you're a thief." Outrageous. Just outrageous. He's caught red-handed, and he accuses the person who he's stealing from of being a thief. Now again, it's everyone against Krishna. All the boys are complaining, including Balaram. That's pretty authoritative. When the elder brother says, "How can you go against your elder brother?" One of the multitasks that women have to perform is impromptu judges. When the children come, they have to act as the judge in their dispute. So now Mother Yashoda will look for the evidence. Should be pretty straightforward. If Krishna was eating dirt, then there should be at least some traces within the mouth. So Krishna doesn't refuse. He opens his mouth. We never find out from the text of the Bhagavatam whether Krishna was actually eating dirt or not. Mother Yashoda forgot all about it. That was a trick of Krishna to get away with it. Oh, maybe he didn't do it. We don't know. They're all accusing Krishna, but at the same time they're saying he did it in a solitary place, which suggests that they didn't actually see him. How would they know if he was doing it in a solitary place? So Mother Yashoda has to weigh up all the evidence and come to a conclusion. But even then, Chris, just like when he's caught stealing, he says, "I didn't steal. You're a thief." It's very, very difficult. This material world is a reflection, perverted reflection of the spiritual world. The spiritual world is Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, full of transcendental, spiritual, blissful experiences. We have this kind of thing here in this material world, but it's not transcendental or blissful. I often find myself in the position where two aggrieved parties, sometimes husband and wife, they give completely different testimony, and either one of them is wrong and the other is right, but you can't say who is wrong and who is right. And maybe they're both wrong. They can't both be right. What do I do? How do I say? Very difficult situation. And it's not uncommon. So many disputes arise, and try and delve into the matter and find out what's going on, and such different such different versions of the events are just maybe complete denial of the events. And I'm sometimes asked why, having compiled a biography of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, why I don't take the history on a little further to the internal strife that happened afterwards. That'd be very interesting. Not very spiritually uplifting. Well, that's one reason I don't do it. I remember I had one young woman at the time, she's not young now, but at the time she was transcribing some cassette recordings I'd made, and I had a lot of this stuff. Because I was also curious. So I asked. I got so much. And she was really distraught. She thought, well, how can devotees do like that, behave like that? There are in some books some versions getting into the matter. Not in English, mercifully. Well, a little bit. But it rocked her faith in Krishna consciousness. And she went on, but it rocked her faith. But then another reason is that, anyway, all of our gurus, god brothers, are worshipable, and it's not really our business to get involved there. Some tension is there between different mats, but anyway, that will go on. And they're doing what they're doing. They're chanting Hare Krishna. They're preaching. So what is the use of bringing all that out? But another major reason is that it's almost impossible to get a clear picture of what happened at all, because there are such different versions. I mean, really, really extremely different. I don't even want to say it because I don't want to get into it too much, but the same event or events, the same people, but a very, very different perspective. And it may be that something happens. Well, it's a common thing. The police have that experience that there's something happen. They say there's an accident, car accident, and then you have eyewitnesses, but they all give very different reports. And definitely the two cars that crashed, if the drivers survive, they'll both give different versions. And it's always the other person's fault. And that's like that too, this husband, wife. It's always the other person's fault. So what to do? In the courts, the magistrates and the judges, they have to make some decision. They can't just leave it hanging in the air. If they don't have sufficient evidence, often there is evidence that is, it looks pretty bad for the accused person, but it's not compelling or complete evidence, and they go free, at least in the British justice system. Because it can't be proved, then they go free. Because the idea is that you can't punish someone unless it's proved. And then they have the jury system in which a group of amateurs, they discuss among themselves and they come to some conclusion. So it's by vote. Did this person murder someone else or not? And it's by vote. How can you understand by vote? Justice is a hard thing. to find in this world, and especially in this Kali Yuga. Might makes right. That's the general principle in the material world. But it's not, might isn't right, but it becomes right. Right is what the mighty tell you to do. Whether it's right or whether it's morally right, we have this term in English, morally correct. Exactly the same concept isn't there in Vedic culture. Sometimes dharma is translated as morality. But it's not exactly there, because morality, that's the atheists say we don't need Richard Dawkins and company. And before him there were so many others. He's not the first atheist. There are plenty of atheists giving the same arguments that they call it the new atheism, but the same kind of arguments that was there in Vedic culture also. Or anti-Vedic culture, ancient India, we can say. So you say, well, we don't need any divine dispensation to decide what's moral and what's not. We can work that out ourselves. And even what is dharma and what is not dharma, as Bhishma Dev said, it's very subtle and it's difficult to understand. Of course, he said it in the wrong circumstances, because he said it when Draupadi asked him, well, is it correct that I'm being treated like this? And he said, well, dharma, blah, blah, blah. He waffled, he avoided giving an answer. That was also ordained by Krishna's desire, yoga maya. He should have just said, no, this nonsense, rascaldom, just kill this Duryodhana, Dushasana, Shakuni, Karna, just kill them right now on the spot. And Bhima would have done it himself, right there, without any weapons. But Bhishma said, it's true that it's very subtle and it's difficult to understand. But you have to make some decision. And usually the person who the decisioner goes against thinks it's unfair. And there may be some element of unfairness in it, because if someone is acquitted of a crime, then the aggrieved party, they'll feel, well, I didn't get justice. But if there's not sufficient evidence, then to maintain the system of justice, this is according to English law, you can't prosecute someone on insufficient evidence. You have to maintain that dharma, I guess you can say. Yeah, and might makes right. That's there. Just like we were discussing yesterday. We're not the only people in the world who have ever discussed it. That if you're big enough, you can get away with anything. And it's not only in India. In the ex-political heads in both the United Kingdom and the United States lied for the sake of making a war which killed so many people. Ultimately for business purposes, power. It's clear and open that they lied, but there's no international court of justice or any proceedings against them. As if they lied, sent their own countrymen and women to die, and of course killed plenty of those people who we don't care if they die anyway. And get away with it. No, they don't have any alibi. They don't even attempt to give an alibi. They don't have to. They're big enough. They can get away with it. So within our Vaishnava society also, justice, it's very difficult to find. We may feel affronted, discontent, but it's better not to. There are plenty of reasons, if we want to feel discontent, but we should be happy that we have the chance to chant Hare Krishna in the association of devotees. And for all the wrong things going on, have gone on, there are still devotees, completely, their life is completely affected by things that happened so many years ago, and they just can't get over it, and they can't move on, as the saying goes. And things will happen in future, but we have to chant Hare Krishna. Then we can go to the spiritual world and get involved in Krishna's quarrels, right? He ate dirt. I didn't eat dirt. You ate dirt. Or you can go to the impersonal Brahman if you're not interested in all these kind of quarrels. Or Vaikuntha. That's nice. Is it nice? What does Raghunath Das Goswami say? He doesn't think, he thinks it's a punishment. We shouldn't preach the... I feel we shouldn't be too much promoting these kinds of things at this stage, especially here we have so many Sri Vaishnava friends. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, when he spoke with Venkata Bhatta, he didn't say, you're Vaikuntha, it's all useless. Again, that we had in Puri with Srivas Thakur, taking the position of a Vaikuntha Vasi, with Sarup Damodar taking the position of a Rajavasi, having a dispute, who's more opulent? Lakshmi with her Vaikuntha or Vrindavan? So disputes are going on. But in the spiritual world, they're very tasty. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. And in the material world, they serve as an impetus to get out of it because they're so distasteful. And they go on and on and on. But better we become absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna. We cannot avoid. As long as we're in this material world, we can't avoid this kind of thing. Even if we're in the forest, we may be living in the forest. The rishis go to the forest. And they may see each other, but it's understood that they have enough, they're sattvic enough, they don't quarrel among themselves. But then we also find in the forest the Brahmani, they were ready to perform the act required for having a child, and then the husband just got ate. A rakshasa just came and ate him. Kalmashapad, the king who had been cursed to become a... So, Or worldly matters. You're just sitting in your ashram and all of a sudden there's a baby girl who gets called Shakuntala. And all of a sudden this rishi, Kanva, has to raise a baby girl. So you don't know. In the forest, it's a dangerous place. Yataranyam, yataranyam tatagriham. The griha is considered the home in which mata nasti. What is that? Mata nasti. Mata yasagrihe nasti, then bharya cha priyavadini. If you don't have your mother at home and your wife is, what do they call that? Henpecking you. She doesn't speak pleasantly. Then aranyam tena gantavyam. Better to go to the forest, because yata aranyam tatagriham. The forest is full of difficulties. But better in the forest, because the home is full of difficulties, the forest is full of difficulties, but the forest is the best place for spiritual advancement. So there is nowhere in this material world where we can avoid difficulties. That is impersonal Brahman or Vaikuntha. And above is Golok Vrindavan, with Krishna eating dirt, which is the topic of discussion. Or not eating dirt. Prabhupada said he's not eating dirt. Right? That's conclusive. Is it all right to doubt Srila Prabhupada? Is it? I wonder. I mean, there may be someone else, a venerable Vaishnava, and says, yes, I saw him. And Krishna will say, you're lying. And then what do you do? It's a dispute between Krishna and Balaram. Whose side are you going to take? Then you're really stuck. Now we're going to celebrate the book distribution that was done here in the last months. We're distributing these books. Those are the first books I distributed was Krishna books, because when in England at that time we were distributing books, we usually had only one book at a time. We had the Krishna book set. We must have had those in a box, the trilogy with the blue box, paperback. When I was there, that was 75, they were sky blue, all of them. You had it in three colors. That was probably before that. And then we went on to Ishopanishad, and like that. So, we're distributing these books to people who, and many times you give a book to someone who's smoking, or they have a hot dog in their hand. And at least in India, people know if they, sometimes you talk to people and they put out their cigarette because they think they shouldn't have a cigarette when they're talking to a sadhu, something like that. But in the West, there's you are a botheration. What do you want? I'm so... Did you understand that? What do you want? Means, what do you want? Said in a way that I'm so gracious to have stopped to listen to you, and you have 0.01 of a second to say whatever you want to say. Or sometimes you have to, they don't stop it. Usually, many times they don't. The great art is to stop people in the first place, to even get them to listen to anything, if you can. And we're distributing these books, the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. It is, again, after you've been through all the, first of all, you have to get a human life, which after many, many births, and then it has to be really, really human. Life begins with Varnashram Dharma. Otherwise it's uncivilized. And then in Varnashram Dharma, that means the majority are Shudras, less number of Vaishyas, some Kshatriyas, few Brahmanas. Brahmanas and Kshatriyas may take interest in this subject matter, generally not others. And then brahmanas, and then they're interested in, if their interest is, of course, not all brahmanas are interested in philosophy, but if they are, there are so many philosophies to mislead them within Vedic culture. Most of the philosophy is a bunch of nonsense. Most of the Vedic philosophy is a bunch of nonsense, out of which some things can be extracted. Mimamsa, very important, it gives important tools for understanding Shastra. Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid yatiti siddheya yatatam api siddhanam kaschin maung veti tatvataha. Hardly anyone's interested in all this. And then someone who's interested, not only interested, but they actually try and they actually reach some level, but hardly anyone knows Krishna. And that's Krishna presenting himself in the Bhagavad Gita. We don't have in the Bhagavad Gita Krishna passing stool and urine. We have, after the Bhagavad Gita here, we have Arjuna making others pass stool and urine. Well, they're not supposed to. They're not supposed to be afraid. But sometimes they also, in the Mahabharata battle, you know, they'd run away also. Mostly very brave soldiers. We have in Gita, mostly, the majestic presentation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are little hints, if we can pick it up. Definitely bhakti is there. Even any neutral observer will know that the Gita is a theistic text. But it points Krishna's Gita, Bhagavad Gita, points largely to the Supreme Person who is creating, maintaining, ultimately destroying the universe, who is the ultimate refuge of all living beings, who is to be worshipped, by worshipping whom one will be delivered from material existence. And yeah, there is definitely there. There are texts which point to the sheer joy of being a devotee of Krishna. That is there. Krishna says, ultimately, manmana, think of me. Arjuna asks Krishna. We have at the end of the 9th chapter, think of manmana, think of me. Then Arjuna asks, well, how are we to think of you? And Krishna answers, this is the 10th chapter, by saying, well, you can say, I am aksharanam akarosmi, I'm the letter A, and the very term akshara gives the idea of all the letters. So he is Stavaranam Himalayaha, he's the Himalayas among the immovable objects. But he gives the idea in terms of his vibhutis in this material world. Arjuna specifically asked to explain in terms of his vibhutis. What is that verse? He asked, Katam, in the 10th chapter, Aham Yogi. Vibhutings, Chajanarana. How does that verse begin? Anyone? Oh, first, let one say. No. Who said one young boy voice? What is that? Katam vidyam aham yogins, vibhuting chajanarana. How can I understand? He specifically asked about your vibhutis. So Krishna explained. You can understand. It's a beginning. It is a beginning. Srila Prabhupada famously said, explaining, Rasoham Apsu, I am the taste of water. that even a drunkard, when he's drinking his wine, if he thinks this taste is Krishna, the time will come when he'll become a great devotee. Famously said, because it was shocking to hear that. But the point is to start, wherever you are, start somehow thinking of Krishna. But this description, this is for the Paramahamsas, topmost Paramahamsas, and we're distributing them. Distributing in India, people know, the people have heard, they know these things. Still the popularity is there. That was a great discovery in the, when was that? That first, the Ramayana came, TV serial. When was that? 1980 something. 88. I know it was before I took sannyas. I know that because I remember going out in the, I was researching for my Bhaktisiddhanta book. I was in Cuttack and I was visiting different people. I was going around by bicycle around Cuttack one Sunday morning. No one! No one on the streets. They're all watching Ramayana. So it was a great discovery that, wow, people are still interested in these things. Because when they first started making movies in India, they're all religious. And then gradually, and then it came, they became secular, and then it came to what it is now. But it was a great discovery. People are still interested. And that gave a great impetus to the whole Sangha Parivar, VHP, BJP, and all this. People are still interested. But so distributing this in India is one thing. And Radha, Krishna, it's a great mystery. But most Hindus don't find it a great mystery. It's Radha, maybe they don't think about it, I don't know, but for them Radha and Krishna, yes, Radha Krishna, it's not a big thing you have to think about. Has God got a girlfriend? Is it right or is it right? It's Radha Krishna, that's all. But distributing these books in the West, it's a miracle that anyone even takes one book, anytime. We hear about so many miracles of book distribution, and you see them here, and so many people, their lives are changing by reading these books here also. I mean, it's not that, as you might have observed, it's not that everyone in India is a Paramahamsa. But even we find the criminals, if we go in jail and they like to see the books, even the politicians. When there was propaganda against Bhagavad Gita in Russia, then all the politicians of all parties, they all, there was no political gain to be, well, maybe for one side, but just individually, they express their outrage. So that's still there. We see so many miracles. We're going to have the... you're going to tell us about the Sankirtan. I'm just going to tell one miracle, which I heard about last year in Russia. One disciple of mine selling books after she died. How do you do that? Zombies. She died. It happens to everyone. She was youngish, I guess 40 something. She'd never been in bad health all her life. She was a very, very, very good devotee. She never married. She was physically deformed. But very, very good devotee. Everyone knew, very, very good devotee. So. Then her body was taken to the morgue. I don't think there's any word in any Indian language for a morgue. It's where you take dead bodies before burying them, or burying them, or burning them, or whatever you do with them. what would you call that? The Shavshala. I just made up a word for it. Dead, the place for dead bodies. So devotees were doing all the, I don't know why her, she had her brother and this and that, but he wasn't a devotee, but he was very supportive of her financially and everything. So devotees were doing the, you know, you have to fill out all these forms and all this kind of thing. So there was a woman working in the morgue, and when the devotee came, she said, "Who's this person? Dead, but the face is shining. It looks so peaceful." He said, "How is that?" She was surprised, shocked. That was because she's seen thousands of dead bodies. But this face, he looks so pure. He said, "Yes, because she was chanting Hare Krishna." He said, "Really, what's all that about?" And, "Okay, take this book." Bhagavad Gita sold on the spot. So there's a little miracle. There's so many miracles. So many wonderful things happen. Krishna's in the heart of everyone. And he manifests himself in this Kali Yuga as Gita and Bhagavatam. So distributing these books means to connect people with Krishna. It's the greatest welfare work. If people can understand connecting people with Krishna, and of course it doesn't finish there. When they show interest, we have to bring them up, help them to come up. This temple is being built, and no doubt, as with any institution in this age, in the future there'll be disputes and so many things. But one thing, this temple will sell many books, of Prabhupada's books, so whatever. Just by the nature of this Kali Yuga, there'll be bad things, but they'll get Prabhupada. And everything's designed like that, right? People come, the panels, dioramas, they see it all. And then before they leave, they have to go through the book room, the bookshop. And then you have to have your best preachers there. Now you have to take a set of Bhagavatams. So, Hare Krishna, you can take over now.